Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, June 6th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al. Well, I guess we'll just go ahead and continue with the market report until he peeks in and let me know that I am there.
Oh, somebody left my mute button on again, Melody.
Oh, is that it? Boy, oh, boy.
My assistant is giving me more problems than Frank is.
Well, you know what? Do you know how you can tell someone is old or elderly?
I don't know, something to do with the rings on their under their bark or something like that. I'm not sure.
No, I'm just thinking they have problems with their mute buttons. Both you and I do, but and I include myself in there, Al. But we're young elderly, right?
I like to think so.
Yes, I do.
Like
too.
I tell people, I'm a lot closer to 60 than I am to 50.
Yes. Yes, and 50 to 40. But gold wasn't any closer to 1300 a day. I knew it would have pressure on it today if they came out with good employment numbers, and they did. The non-farm payrolls, they came out, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But gold actually, I think, held up very well, considering basically unchanged from yesterday, $1,254. Silver is $1,912. They were both considerably lower earlier on in the day. Gold had a low of 1245. Silver was 1881. So they both rebounded nicely. And so not a bad day. Not a bad day. People are out there yelling, what do you mean not a bad day? It's 1254. But considering where it could be, I think it had a good one. Platinum was up $8 at 1455, along with palladium up $6. At 848, the USDX today was also up 10 at 80.44. Crude oil was up 29 at 102.77. And the paper markets today, I'll struggle through this. The paper markets today were up stronger again. Both the Dow and the S&P at record highs. And the NASDAQ finished at the highest level in nearly 3 months. The Dow was up 87, and it was strong out the chute this morning. As soon as they gave the numbers for the employment, it went up and stayed there all day. You'd think that the Dow would have hit or been up 300 points on their goody news, or they think it's goody news, but when you read between the lines, it's really not all that comforting. The NASDAQ was up 25 points at 43.21, along with the S&P up 9 at 1949. The 10-year yield did touch 2.60 today, up 0.01. So the big news, Al, was the employers added 217 jobs.
217,000 or
217,000 jobs.
Mm.
There was a surge in healthcare workers, of course. That's no big surprise, because we all knew that with the Obamacare and his law went into effect and all the Medicaid, you'd see these areas increase. Restaurants and bars added 31,000. It's no big surprise there. We're going into the summer season. Memorial Day started off. So, you know, that really is no big surprise. Retailers picked up 12,000. You know, that's a little surprising considering all these big retailers that are having financial problems. And, of course, the...
It's not just surprising. It's the sort of thing where you wonder how they're even making calculations on that. We're going to get into this a little more in the program, but we have some... We've got one set of reports that... That just lists the number of retail operations that are losing stores, not a couple of stores. They lose a little bit of help. They're losing thousands of people. Stores are closing down, in some instances, hundreds of stores. In some instances, in at least one, they're closing down completely. Blockbuster is closed off forever, as near as I understand.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, and they've got their retail are hiring people. This, they may be, I don't doubt that some retail agents, some retail businesses are hiring people. I'm sure that's happening. But the weight of, you know, the number of people that are being lost and let go, it's huge. And I don't see how they can come up with a positive number. Except by new math. They can do it by new math, which is what I think we use for economics now. It doesn't matter what the answer is, so long as you feel good. You know, you got
like
the new math. We feel good about ourselves. We have self-esteem because we have good numbers.
I like Bush's. Fuzzy math. But what's interesting about the recovery, it did hit them. This is what you will hear, that the recovery hit a key milestone in May. As the U.S. economy finally recouped all the 8.7 million jobs that was lost in the financial crisis. But they don't talk about how many more workers came into the market looking for jobs. There's estimates anyway from 11 to 15 million. So they can, you know, they can shout and think of all good things about these 8.7 million jobs lost in the financial recouped, but that just isn't true. There's a lot of people that are not working, and I saw another statement today where men, they're still lagging behind women. Overall, men have 699,000 fewer jobs now than they did in 2007, December 2007, when the recession began. So men who had good quality paying jobs, they're not getting them back. And of course, women, we know women, a lot of their positions are part-time. And we certainly have seen a lot of male-dominated
hours are being squeezed.
Yeah, your male-dominated industries like construction and manufacturing—they accounted for about half of all jobs that was lost in the downturn, and these types of positions just are slow to return.
Yeah, I understand.
So, and another report came out today: is U.S. consumer spending jumped in April. Credit card debt rose at fastest pace since 2007, the fastest pace in more than 12 years with growth in credit card debt. The Federal Reserve says that overall credit increased by $26 billion in April, and that's up from a gain of $19 billion in March. Now, I don't remember retail numbers being really good for April, so the strong increase could be a good sign. But again, this consumer spending was also fueled by autos and student loans, and which rose by $18 billion, and credit card debt was up $8.8 billion. So the people are beginning to feel better, at least because
are
the stock market is higher.
No, you don't absolutely know that. You don't absolutely know that the people are feeling better just because they're spending more money on credit. It may be that they're so broke it's the only place they have to turn right now.
Maybe not better, but confident.
I understand. That's the typical interpretation, and it may be correct, but we'll see.
But there's other areas that, where we remain in, you know, record numbers.
Well, the records are mostly on the downside. That's the problem right now, and it makes you wince.
It does.
To listen to people in positions of power in government come out and try to sell us that happy days are here again. You know, it's like a little boy who cried wolf. All right, after a while, nobody believes him when he says wolf. There's a certain amount of that with the little boy who cried recovery. All right, after we hear it enough times, we finally just reach a point where, yeah, there's going to be a recovery. I understand that on one level, the government has an obligation to lie to the people. They've got to try to shore up public confidence. It's one of the critical elements of any sort of economic recovery. We've got to believe we're having a recovery before we're going to have a recovery. And therefore, government figures, well, we'll just lie to them and they'll believe us. But we live in a world where the government lies don't work the way they have in the past. It's because of the internet. It's because of millions of people that are reporting the news one way or another on the internet. Now, it might not be a big report. It may be that just some little girl in high school is making a report on a small thing. But still, we have eyes all over the country. And we're no longer dominated by the three major networks. And as a result, you can't lie effectively in this environment anymore and expect it to work for long. And that's where the government is. And I don't know what government has. If they can't lie, what else do they have to offer us right now? Because they're basically broke. They can't point to any successes that are significant at this time. All they've got are lies, and I don't know that anyone believes them anymore. So it just makes you wince. It's part and parcel of recognizing. It's like the captain on the Titanic assuring everyone, just stay in your places. Everything is fine. Trust me, everything is fine.
Go by those.
We've looked out. I can see the water running by the railing. You understand? We are sinking. And it doesn't give anyone, it doesn't please anyone to see it happening, but that's what appears to be. We appear to be sinking, and on top of which, how are we going to solve the problem if we will not address it honestly? Government's whole idea is that they have enough power and brains, and they're so slick that they can defraud us, lie to us, until we get back to working. And I don't think they can. And I want to know if they have anything real. Do you have anything real for us? Anybody who's working in government? Do you have anything real? Real money? Real progress? Real jobs? What? Real numbers? Honest numbers on employment, on inflation, and so on? What's government got? The whole thing becomes embarrassing.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
70 years, D-Day, today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, some celebrations taking place.
How could you remember 70 years ago?
Well, no, I mean since then. Mm. But there's a big celebration over Normandy. Bunches of heads of states, France, Germany, even Russia, the U.S. I mean, there's a lot more, but those are just what is making the 70-year D-Day celebration.
I think it's just get together, and I think it's more the lies. I think it's more diversion. We're having a party. We're having a celebration. We'll all smile and shake each other's hand over there in Normandy and celebrate the victory over the Nazis. Because we don't have anything to celebrate right now. I mean, to me, this is just more diversion. I recognize there's valid reasons to celebrate what happened in Normandy back in, what, 1944, I guess. I get that. There's valid reason for some sort of a celebration or a memorial, but it is 70 years ago.
I mean, I could see milestones at 50, 100. But I just thought the 70 was a little, 75, you know, every 25 years is usually how things are celebrated. So I was just curious about the 70. And
I think they're just desperate to celebrate something and to show some sort of unity between Europe and the United States and even with Russia. But who's buying this? I mean, how many people are deceived anymore? I think the number of people, I think that's one of the things. I'd like to see a study on how many people are still deceived by the government, by mainstream media, whatever. And how many people are waking up and saying, I don't believe it. And maybe we don't even believe it when some things are true. But again, you got the little boy who cried recovery. You got the little boy who cried, we've created a couple hundred thousand jobs when we haven't. After a while, you get tired of that little boy. You say, that kid lies. You understand? He doesn't just make mistakes. He lies, and he lies every time he turns around. And therefore, we don't want to hear him necessarily.
Well, it's just like how they're coming out with on the Obamacare, how 4 million Americans are going to be paying the Obamacare tax. But do they bother talk about how many millions more are not going to be paying the tax? It's a huge number. 87% of those that are supposed to be signing up, from what I heard today, will not be penalized.
Yeah.
They're exempt.
Yeah.
But they're not going to talk about that. It just sounds like the other way it's much better that you're going to have these people paying the penalty, like this insurance, that these health cares are really going to get paid for.
You know, the whole thing just becomes crazy, insane.
It is crazy.
I wonder who's doing this stuff. Are they just that stupid? That's the question. Are they that stupid? Are they that incompetent?
I don't think they're that stupid.
Why are we trusting them to run this country for, you know?
I don't think they're stupid, Al. I think they think the GDP, the generally dumb public, is. You know, and
the thing about the public is that they are disinclined to act. I don't think the public is dumb. A lot of people do. And there's been times in my life when I'm inclined to, and I'm not going to give the public, you know, I'm not going to sit back and say everybody out there is a genius and the rest of that sort of thing. But they understand to some degree what's going on. They have some appreciation. They may not have a depth. They may not have an understanding in depth, but nevertheless, they get what's happening here. They just aren't doing anything about it yet, but I think they understand. And if we get to a point where the public begins to do something, we're going to see some going to be interesting times here in the good old U.S. of A. We're going to break and take some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. I'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here at Financial Survival. Melody has had to go bye-bye, as you could hear when she was speaking during the first segment of the program. She's under the weather, and she can't continue. She's got to lay down for a while and rest her voice and see a doctor tomorrow and so on and so forth. So I'm here to proceed on my own. Just in case anyone's interested, you could give us a call at 1-800-596-8191. Here's an idea whose time has come. Oklahoma recognizes gold and silver coins as legal tender. Oklahoma Senate Bill 862 was signed by Governor Mary Fallon yesterday. Senate Bill 682 recognizes gold and silver coins as legal tender in that state. Here's the text of the bill. It says, although the bill recognizes gold and silver as legal tender, it also states no person may compel another person to tender or accept gold or silver coins that are issued by the United States government except as agreed upon by contract. Okay, you can't be compelled to accept gold and silver, but who wouldn't? You know, under the right circumstances, who wouldn't? And this article continues. It says, Oklahoma joins Utah, Texas, and Louisiana as states that have removed taxes on gold and silver coin, and nearly a dozen other states that are currently considering legislation to recognize gold and silver coin as hard money. So we're talking about one, two, three states, four states right now, Oklahoma, Utah, Texas, and Louisiana, that have removed taxes on gold and silver coins. Right? They've already done that. You transact, you're not going to pay taxes on the coins. Understand? And nearly a dozen other states that are currently considering such legislation. Let's suppose the dozen other states actually pass this legislation. We're talking about 16 states that are in the process of, they've already enacted this, or they are at least considering it, using gold and silver coin as lawful money back within those states. And this is interesting and fascinating, and it offers insight into what's happening in the world. The government is suppressing the price of gold. Right? They say, oh, we don't need gold. They don't want the people to have gold. Use gold. Don't think about gold. All you got to do is think about those little pieces of paper. We've got 16 states that are essentially thumbing their nose at the federal government and say, no, we're gonna do something with gold down here. right? We are going to prepare to work in a different direction. It's evidence that the national government is losing control of the situation. It's evidence that gold is making headway. And despite the price suppression, gold is still working its way into the economy of the United States. What else? United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 enables states to declare gold and silver coin as legal tender and gives them the impetus to remove all taxes on gold and silver. There's a few more things. Here's something American Principles in Action Chairman Sean Feeler said. With the Federal Reserve actively suppressing interest rates and eroding the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar, it is welcome news to see one or more states give its citizens tax-free access to money that holds its value over time. Huh? The truth of the matter is, your Federal Reserve notes are currency, but they're not money, and there's a difference. And one of the differences is that the Federal Reserve notes do not hold their value over time. Gold does. I've talked about this on the program a number of times. It's a way of thinking. It's what's your attitude on some of these situations? Do you want to make more money? And of course, the answer is yes. Everybody wants to make more money. But we have to be careful about that, because if we are enticed and if we accept that mindset, got to get more money, more, got to have more money, got to look, it makes you vulnerable. You know, you become vulnerable to being conned and given promises that you can get into a get-rich-quick scheme, and before you're done, you may find out that it's like Bernie Madoff or, any number of different operations that we see from time to time. They make big promises. They don't come through. And we are partly to blame for our own problems because we covet. We're greedy. We are dominated by avarice. We want more. One of the things I'm looking at right now, talked about a little bit on the program in the past, it may be time to stop thinking about how much more you can get. And if you have any wealth, rather than thinking about how do you get more, maybe you need to start thinking about how do you preserve what you've got. Everything suggests that we are going to see more and more trouble. And as we do, a lot of people who are, they think they're wealthy right now, but they have their wealth stored in paper, stocks, bonds, bank accounts, 401ks, pension funds, Social Security, all of these are paper promises at a time when the promises can't all be kept. And when I say not all, I don't mean that we can only keep 90% of the profit promises. I don't think we can keep 50%, and I'm inclined to believe we are going to keep only 10, 20% of the promises at the most. And by promises, I mean the promises that back every debt instrument. We promise to pay. We promise to pay. You get yourself some gold, you get some silver, you're not caught in a promise. You've got it. Price may go up, price may go down, but you have wealth that is not going to disappear. And you can't say that about fiat dollars. No one can believe. Gold will never be worth zero. But at some point in time, fiat dollars will be worth zero. Maybe 6 months from now, maybe 6 years from now, I don't know. But at one point in time, that paper is going to turn out to be worthless. It'll never happen with gold. And depending on how you look at the future and what you think is coming, do you want to try to get more money? Do you want to protect what you already have? Which attitude? Here's an article that deals with Steve Forbes. Forbes predicts stock market crash worse than the 1930s. Another Great Depression is coming and here, and we're not to be when it hits. This is from Forbes magazine. And Forbes, among other things, He says, you've got to link the dollar to gold. Either we link the dollar to gold, or we're going to have the Great Depression number two. Now, just because Steve Forbes says this doesn't make it so. But let's suppose that what he's saying is so. Let's suppose we've got two choices. One, either link the dollar to gold, or two, we go into a Great Depression. And it'll quite probably be worse than the one in the 1930s. The problem with his dilemma, either link the dollar to gold or go into a Great Depression, the problem is we can't link the dollar to gold. I wrote an article on it earlier today, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll remember it as best I can. Why can't we link the dollar to gold? And there have been reports in them where the big answer, the big explanation is because some sources, like John Williams at ShadowStats.com, claims there are 17 trillion paper dollars floating around in foreign countries. They're offshore. 17 trillion of them. What do you suppose would happen to those 17 trillion if the government declared that the dollars were now backed by gold? That $17 trillion would fly back into this country and try to swap out for gold. Even if the price of gold was raised to $20, or excuse me, if the gold went up to $20,000 an ounce, they'd still be taking that $17 trillion and pushing it back into this country. Said, give me gold, give me gold, give me gold. What would that mean? It would mean a flood of $17 trillion pouring into this country. At the same time, whatever gold we had was pouring out. We can't link the current dollar to gold without having those $17 trillion pour in. You say, okay, we want gold. We want gold. Get rid of these dollars. Here, go spend them. Do whatever you want to do with them. But we want to get rid of the $17 trillion and we want gold. We can't do that. There's not enough gold to pay it off. Even at $20,000 an ounce, I did some numbers on it, and the 8,200 metric tons of gold that we supposedly have only works out to about $6 trillion worth of gold, if I did my math correctly. If I'm right, $17 trillion is three times as much gold as we might have at $20,000 an ounce. At $2,000 an ounce or $5,000 an ounce, the ratios are even worse. And the point I'm making, you can't link the current dollars to gold because there's $17 trillion of them floating around in foreign countries that'll come flying back as soon as they can be traded for gold. Can't do it. So what do you have to do? If you want a gold-based dollar, you can't link gold to the current dollar. You've got to let the current dollar die. It's got to expire in hyperinflation or under whatever circumstances that can be imagined, contrived. But the current dollar has to die. It has to go to zero value. And when it does, we're going to see an economic collapse. We're going to see a greater depression. And after that greater depression is over, and it might only last a couple of years. It doesn't have to last 15, 20 years like it did in the Great Depression. 10 or 12. It doesn't have to last that long. We could get out of it in 3 years. Maybe, I'm not, I don't know, 3-4 years. But we've got to go through that Greater Depression, destroy the dollar, absolutely, the current dollar, and then, in the aftermath, come up with a new and improved dollar that's backed by gold, but is not susceptible to the 17 trillion paper dollars that are laying overseas in Europe and Africa and around the world right now. We got to get out from under that $17 trillion that could come flooding in to grab the gold. So we can't have the current dollar. Can't be attached. Can't be backed by gold. And Forbes, if he thinks that's going to happen, he's mistaken in my opinion. Can't do it. And that means we are going into a depression. If, assuming Forbes' dichotomy, his dilemma, if he's right, then we're going into a depression because we can't back the current dollar with gold. That's number one, and the reason is there's $17 trillion overseas. Number two, second reason is there's a high probability that although government claims to have 8,200 tons of gold in the U.S. Treasury, it may be that most of that's gone. We haven't had a legitimate audit since 1953 or 54, I don't remember, but in any case, we're talking over 60 years since we've had a legitimate audit of how much gold we really have in this country. And there is a high probability that's the idea that there's a high probability that we may only have, who knows, half, 10%, 20%, how much gold do we have left out of that 8,200 tons? It's probably not very much. And the reason you can say that, you can infer that, is because Germany tried to collect in January of 2013, they wanted 300 tons of gold they deposited with the United States. They wanted it back. And by January of this year, a year later, our government had only returned 5 tons of gold to Germany. 5 tons in a year. We owe them 300. We're supposed to have it. This is like, you know, I borrow your lawnmower. And I come over and say, hey, Bob, can I borrow your lawnmower? Mine's broken down. They say, oh, sure, go ahead. And then when Bob decides he wants the lawnmower back, and I just keep on ducking him, and well, I'll get it to you. Well, I'll get it tomorrow, maybe Sunday, I'll get it to Monday. I'll have it for sure Monday. How long before Bob starts wondering if the lawnmower is still anywhere in the neighborhood? Did I sell it? Did I give it away? Did I lose it? Why don't I return the lawnmower almost immediately? It has to make Bob wonder in the same sense that people have to wonder what's going on with the gold that was given to Germany. Why can't they replace the 300 tons? Especially if we had 8,200. If we had 8,200 tons of our own gold, what's 300 tons? No big deal. Should be able to send that back in short order, but it's not happening. It's more evidence. We don't have the gold. How are we going to back the dollar if our gold treasury has been depleted? How can we have a gold-based currency? My conclusion is we're not going to have a gold-backed currency. I couldn't imagine it happening in less than 3 years, and it'll only happen after we have an economic collapse that'll justify getting rid of the dollar we have currently. And even then, we're not going to have a gold-based currency unless our government has an enormous stockpile of gold when most of the evidence suggests it's no longer there. It's gone. It's been used to suppress the price of gold over the last decade. If the gold's not there, we can't have a gold-based currency. What's that mean? We have 4 states that have already said, look, we're going to start using gold and silver coins again. You can use it as currency. If the government can't provide the gold and silver to back currency, paper dollars, then are we going to go to gold and silver? Just flat out, if you want to buy something, do you have any gold? Do you have any silver? We are headed in that direction, and whether we get there or not, or how soon we get to that condition remains to be seen. But we're moving in that direction. The world is moving in that direction. People are recognizing that if the government won't give us gold-based currency, we'll get our own, and that's a good idea. An idea whose time has come, and an idea that we may see more of over the course of the next 5-10 years. I'm Alfred Addisk on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival. We'll get an article from U.S. expats in Mexico left stranded in latest FATCA escalation. At the first set of Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, that's FATCA, due to go into effect on July 1st, we have a flurry of banks around the world advising U.S. citizens that they will be immediately closing their accounts. Government wants the banks of the world to keep track on any of you that might be moving out of the country and taking money with you. And they want to keep track of your money even if you leave this country so they can tax you or perhaps even jail you. But they got to keep track. Big Brother needs to know what you're doing with your money. And they're going to, if you try to get out of this country and go to another one, they want to follow you even there by means of the local banks. Now, none of this has been so far-reaching as a notice sent to U.S. citizens who have accounts at Banamex USA in Mexico this week. That's bank, B-A-N-A-M-E-X, Mexican, second biggest Mexican bank. Banamex U.S. parent, is the second largest bank in Mexico, and there are over 1 million U.S. citizens living in Mexico. By far the largest amount of any country, so this will be felt over a very widespread area. Notices have been sent by Banamex USA, a bank operating in Mexico, and used by many American expatriates in Mexico to all U.S. citizens, noticing them that their accounts will be closed within 30 days. Now, in order, they don't want to deal with it. Government, the United States government is always a pain in the butt, and the banks are just saying, we don't need it. We don't need the aggravation. What's it mean? It means that people that are down there in Mexico who are depending on Banamex, for example, they will not. Here's one quote from one online commentator wrote, no more Social Security check deposits. No more linking of accounts to Banamex Mexico. No more credit card. No more ATM for free. No more nada. Point I'm getting to is this. The government is closing these accounts. Well, foreign governments are foreign banks are closing these accounts because the American government thinks that it can throw its weight around and simply intrude any place it wants and take advantage. Grab that money. Everybody, we are still the government is behaving as if we are still the world's only superpower, as if we are the colossus that runs the whole globe. And the truth is, we're not. And people are beginning to realize that. And they throw their weight around. They do pull stunts like this. And these stunts are stupid. And they're even contrary to America's best interests because there are allegedly something like 770 banks, 77,000 banks in 70 countries are being, the government wants them to surrender all information on American customers to the Internal Revenue Service. Well, it's just a bunch of crapola. They don't want the aggravation, and they are closing down American accounts. Not all of them, just we're talking Banamex right now. That's all we're talking about. But we'll see something similar in other countries. And what does it mean? What does it mean for the world reserve currency? The only reason the dollar still has the fiat dollar has any perceived value is that it is still, to some extent, the world reserve currency. As other countries begin to get by using currencies other than the dollar will become less valuable. When government said, oh, we'll just lean on everybody in foreign countries, all the foreign banks, and they'll all cooperate with us. We'll pass FATCA and push people around. All that's happening is people are just saying, we don't need you. Too much aggravation. If we see an effect throughout the balance of the world comparable to what is being reported in Mexico, it will simply push the dollar's value down. It's not going to collapse it. It's not going to make it disappear. But it will make the dollar less valuable. It will contribute to inflation, at least at the global level, and the dollar will head toward that moment when it finally becomes recognized by the world. They're going to sit back and say, oh, you'll never guess what. And people say, what? What do you got? And they'll say, the dollar is intrinsically worthless. Who would have imagined? In any case, it's another one of those stories that, you wonder, what's wrong with this government? They're going to have to learn that they're going to probably learn painfully that they don't have the weight. You know, they don't have the power that they've had in the past, and you can't keep swaggering around like you're a heavyweight when maybe you're only a welterweight. Keep it up, you're going to get hurt. Here's something from nextgov.com. Secret Service software will detect sarcasm in social media users. The Secret Service is purchasing software to watch users of social networks in real time. In a work order posted Monday, the agency details information the tool will collect ranging from emotions of internet users to old Twitter messages. Old Twitter messages? Oh my gosh, is nothing sacred. Next thing you know, they'll be capturing the text written on the walls of the stalls and the public restrooms. The article continues. It says its capabilities, the software, will include sentiment analysis, influencer identification. What do they mean by influencer identification? You know, I don't know if I'm an influencer or if I'm an influencee. But anyway, they're going to be able to figure that out, and perhaps they'll tell me. They have access to historical Twitter data, heat maps, or graphics showing user trends by color intensity, and even the ability to detect sarcasm. Holy cow. Sarcasm? I don't know if I can do radio without sarcasm. If the government is listening and with a computer and they're identifying me doing sarcasm, I may be in big trouble. If even the government begins to notice my sarcasm, I might have to hang up my microphone. What else have we got? Forbes predicts. We talked a little about Forbes predicting earlier. Let's go down a list of businesses that are reportedly closing down. Well, at least in part. As you read this article, approximately 1 billion square feet of retail space is sitting vacant in the United States. If you've driven around town, certainly big cities, you've typically seen storefront after storefront that are closed. It's not a majority, but it's a lot. All right? It's significant. And they've stayed closed for sometimes years. They just can't rent them anymore. Last week, Radio Shack announced it was going to close more than 1,000 stores. That's a hard number to believe, but that's in this report. Last week, Staples announced it was going to close 225 stores. Same store sales at Office Depot have declined for 13 quarters in a row. It's over 3 years. JCPenney has been dying for years, and it recently announced plans to close 33 more stores. Sears has closed about 300 stores since 2010, and CNN is reporting that Sears is expected to shutter another 500 Sears and Kmart locations soon. Overall sales numbers have declined at Sears for 27 quarters. That's almost 7 years in a row. Video giant, rental giant Blockbuster has completely shut down all of their stores. It's projected that U.S. sales in U.S. supermarkets will decline by 1.7% this year, even as the overall population continues to grow. McDonald's was down 3.5% in January. Walmart is struggling. CNBC had a report recommended Walmart close about 100 more underperforming supercenters in rural areas. The list goes on. What we're pointing out, there's a problem in retail sales in this country right now. And while government is trying to put on a happy face and telling us that everything is going to be fine, they're not dealing with the fundamental issues because they can't. They've got nothing to solve these problems other than lies. That's all they've got to offer us right now. Think about that. No control, no real influence, probably not even any genuine understanding. We see some evidence of that in European central banks. Here's an article from the New York Times that says European Central Bank breaks new ground to press growth. Banks typically make money on the cash they park at central banks. That's local banks park cash at central banks. They usually make money on it. Now the European Central Bank wants them to pay for the privilege. So-called negative interest rates, crippling combination. It's used to fight the crippling combination of slow growth and super low inflation. But here's where this article gets interesting to me. It says the initiatives announced on Thursday by the European Central Bank include the usual fare, interest rate cuts, and cheap bank loans. But the bank also showed a willingness to test new tools like the negative interest rate in a nod to just how worrisome the economic situation has become in Europe. Taken collectively, the measures send a strong message to investors, businessmen, and citizens that the central bank is determined to put Europe on a path to stronger growth. All right? That's what it says in the New York Times. I say bunk. By testing new tools, and that's what they're talking about. They said their willingness to test new tools. Testing new tools. They're not using new tools. They're testing and saying, I don't know, maybe this will work. Let's try this. Who knows? Maybe it'll work. By testing new tools, the European Central Bank is sending the message that the European Union's economic problems are too great for conventional economic tools to solve. And in the midst of the resulting confusion, the European Central Bank is now ready to conduct experiments on the European economy. That sends a message that they're not in control. That's why they need new experimental tools. Why? Because the tools they've had over the years and they've relied on in economics, they don't work anymore. What does that tell us? It sends a message that the European system is fragile, unstable, and unpredictable. It sends a message that no one is in control because no one really knows what's going on. And the message here is not one of effective control, but rather of desperation. Now, New York Times says, hooray, this is, you know, a strong message to investors, businesses, and citizens that the central bank is determined to put Europe on a path to stronger growth. But what the message really is they're in big trouble. They don't know what to do, and therefore they're going to try some experiments. All right. When they start experimenting on you, they're going to revive you with some experimental therapy, pretty much indicates you're in big trouble. Same thing is true for Europe, and to significant degree, the same thing is true around this country. Here's another one for us before we shut down. Half of Americans can't afford their house. This is from MarketWatch. As the housing market slowly recovers, a majority of homeowners and renters are finding it hard to meet rising rents and mortgage payments. Over half of Americans, 52%, have had to make at least one major sacrifice in order to cover their rent or mortgage in the last 3 years. These sacrifices include getting a second job, deferring savings for retirement, cutting back on health care, running up credit card debt, or even moving to a less safe neighborhood or one with worse schools. Lawrence Yun, chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, said affordability issues are real and a major hurdle. Home prices have increased 20% over the past 2 years, and wages have barely gone up. Only by adding more new supply via housing starts can home prices be tamed. In fact, construction of housing units, this is what's interesting, construction of housing units has averaged about 1.5 million units per year for the past 5 decades. But this year, it's likely to be less than 1 million. All right? We are building 2/3 as many homes in 2014 as we have averaged for the past year for 5 decades. This is just another leaf in the breeze that tells you, look, we're going to have a problem. And how soon we get to it, who knows? Again, maybe before the end of this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after that. But it's almost impossible to suggest we're going to have a happy ending to our current economic malaise. And one of the things that means is you got to protect yourself as best you can. And part of that protection has got to include gold and silver coin. Give Melody Cedarstrom a call, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Addisk. Melody and I will be back next Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you. You, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.